ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. And the purport, all the domestic animals of Vrindavan were brought beneath over the hill for shelter. In the word-to-word Sanskrit, gartham in hollow. So we heard this already. The hollow is when you lifted the hill, those like space underneath the hill, like depression space. So, text 23. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there, holding up the hill for 7 days. As the people of Russia gazed upon him. Report. According to the Vishnu Purana, Rajaita Vasadir Harsha Vismitakshire Nirikshitaha Gopa Gopi Janair Rishtai Priti Vispa The Tekshanai Samstoyamana Charita Krishna Shaivam Adarayet. Translation. Lord Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the residents of Braja, all of whom now had the opportunity to dwell together with him, and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes. Thus the cowherd men and women were all elated, and out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide. End of the translation. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. And Lord Krishna, by seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that 7 days of continuous rain from the Samvartaka cloud failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord simply by his potency immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Thus, Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has for thousands of years remained one of his most famous pastimes. Some of you have been to Govardhan Hill. Anyone not been to Govardhan Hill? Have you all been to Govardhan Hill? So, one of the places in Govardhan Hill is Manasi Ganga, right? And around Manasi Ganga, there's a temple of Lord Shiva, and a place is called Chakratirtha, right?
Yes.
That's celebrated place where Sanatana Goswami stayed for some time. And Chakratirtha got its name because in another explanation besides by Krishna's potency, the water dried up. The Sudarshan Chakra moved swiftly around Govardhan Hill so many times, very, very, very fast that the water evaporated. So it didn't flood underneath Govardhan Hill. And now we're going to go to commentaries. Let's do our social distancing. Yes? This is Bhanuswami's translation of verse 22. Their minds, thus pacified by Lord Krishna, this is a very similar translation, so I don't want to change it. Vishwanath, they proceeded to go beneath the mountain along with their carts, servants, and priests. Jiva Goswami writes, by speaking skillfully in this way and by lifting the mountain effortlessly with his left hand, with their minds comforted and peaceful because of Krishna, who performs unlimited astonishing pastimes by attracting everyone's hearts, they enter the cavity beneath the mountain along with their cows and other forms of wealth. Sanatana Goswami has a long commentary. By speaking skillfully in this way and by lifting the mountain effortlessly with his left hand, with their minds comforted and peaceful because of Krishna, who performs unlimited astonishing pastimes, by attracting everyone's hearts, they enter the cavity beneath the mountain along with their cows and other forms of wealth. Sounds identical. Another version has tatha instead of tata with the same meaning. There was plenty of space since Govardhan extended for a yojana, that's 8 miles, and expanded to suit the number of people. In Kali Yuga, like the Lord, Govardhan has been almost covered up. By the will of the Lord and power of Govardhan, when the people entered the hole, the rain from the top of the hill did not fall on them, and the rain did not enter from the sides. Hari Vamsha says, is the Sanskrit, he held the mountain up to the clouds with his left hand. It became like a dwelling with the form of a splendid house. Everyone lived there comfortably with their furniture and other items. Just as Krishna held up the whole mountain using one finger of one hand on one portion of the mountain, so by his shakti, no rain could enter under the mountain. The Lord revealed his nature as Bhagavan, as previously, by lifting the mountain easily, like an umbrella, as a small child, even though he had all powers. And then text 23, slightly different translation, Bhanuswami, Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja gazed upon him. Vishwanath. The inhabitants forgot about hunger and thirst for 7 days because they were immersed in bliss on seeing Krishna continuously. This is explained in the Vishnu Purana. Doesn't give the quote. Krishna watched by the inhabitants of Braja with eyes wide with affection, held the mountain steadily. It should be understood that Krishna stood facing everyone. At this time, the inhabitants' hunger and thirst disappeared on seeing the youthful beauty of Krishna. And Krishna's hunger and thirst disappeared on seeing the beauty of his beloved gopis. It should be understood that Mathura Mandala did not become inundated with water because his Ichha Shakti dried up the water immediately. Six Gatikas make up one day. 7 days passed as if it was one Gatika for the inhabitants of Braja. And Jiva Goswami, they forgot about comforts like sleeping and pain caused by hunger and thirst. Since he was looked at specially with astonishment and the highest affection by the cows, cowherds, and women of Braja, who took him as their life. They made him the only object of happiness for their eyes. The Sanskrit past particle hitva indicates that what follows is the cause or goal of their forgetting their own comforts. It also indicates that their hunger, thirst, and discomfort disappear immediately upon looking at him. Their looking at him aided his holding up the mountain, since that made him joyful at every moment. Then it quotes the Vishnu Purana reference. Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the residents of Braja, all of whom now had the opportunity to dwell regularly, dwell together with him, and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes, with eyes opened wide out of affection. Giving up his comforts to hold the mountain, he held up the mountain. By their glancing, he had no desire for sleeping. He did not move from the place where he was, where he fixed his feet. This indicates that holding the mountain is very, very easy. And an additional commentary by Vishwanath, the Brajavasis forgot about hunger and thirst for 7 days because they were immersed in the ecstatic bliss of seeing Krishna continuously. And then the Vishnu Purana quote is made in this translation again. It should be understood that Krishna stood directly facing everyone. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the Brajavasis felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. And Sri Krishna, seeing the beautiful forms of the beloved gopis, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. 7 days of continuous rain from the Samvartika clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord, simply by his Ichha Shakti, or supreme willpower, immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. for the Brajvasis, the 7 days passes, it was one Gatika, which is 24 minutes. So there's 24 minutes, and it was said yesterday that Vibhishan made his way all the way from Mangala to where Ram was in 48 minutes, or two Gatikas. And I'm sure there's some relation to a Muhurta. That's it for the commentary. Because of a mention being made here about the joy that they felt drinking through their eyes the beauty of Krishna, this is one of the primary purposes of Krishna. I mean, there's many. He's expert, so with one thing, he does many things, and one of the many things was providing the resident of Vrindavan the opportunity for uninterrupted darshan for 7 days. It is one of the topics about Krishna that he has 8 different periods of time during the day that he does different pastimes. Ashta, Kalya, Leela, it's called. And during this period of time, it's this Leela, during that period of time, etc. And there's some Vaishnavas that meditate as the day is passing on this Leela, that Leela, that Leela, the Ashta, Kalya, Leela, pastime to Krishna as they're going about their daily duties. And it's meditation. And it's Krishna's exhibition of different moods of love. You know, for example, you know, when he gets ready to get up in the morning, that's a period of time. And then there's different devotees that are participating in the pastime of Krishna getting up in the morning. When we visit Nandagram, there's a lake, or kund, and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna would go there every day and take the morning bath, and when he would come back, it was this and that, and the other thing, and the other thing, and the other thing. Different devotees having different services. And then that time period lapsed, and the next time period began. It's the cow boys are out there clamoring, hurry up. The cows are going, woo. And then it's another mood, etc., without going through the whole thing. Then, you know, Krishna would kill a demon, and then it was time for lunch. And then after lunch, there was resting. And sometimes Krishna, while the cowherd boys were resting, would go off and be with the gopis because the cowherd boys were resting. So again, he gave that up. So it's like that. It's different things. So when Krishna wasn't with them, they were feeling separation, and then Krishna would be with them, and they were feeling meeting, and then Krishna would go into the next phase of his lila, and there'd be separation. So they were hankering for uninterrupted association, so he gave that. And they were very happy, more than happy. They forgot everything. One of the Sanskrit terms that came a few verses ago, I'm not remembering, it's comparable to mamata. It indicates that for them, Krishna is everything, something. And because of their, it's part of Krishna's nature, because of their exclusive devotion to him, he was controlled by their love. He was completely thinking of nothing but them. And then comes Narada to remind Krishna, know this pastime. Krishna, after Narada visited Kamsa and said, hey, remember that eight child of Devaki message? Guess what? He's over there. Go get him. Vasudev lied to you. He said he'd give every child, but he didn't give the eighth child. The eighth child was over there. Oh, I'm going to go kill Vasudev. No, no, no. Don't worry about Vasudev. Worry about the child that's over there. Go get him. Now, why did he do that? Because he knew Krishna. Not being in any danger. He wanted to accelerate the pastime for which Krishna had appeared. So then he went to see Krishna in Braja. And he didn't say, hey, you appeared to kill the demons. He didn't say that. Not gonna like correct Krishna. Well, he's very expert. He said, oh, I long to see the day when you will go to Mathura. And Vasudev and Devaki, your mother and father, they're in Kamsa's prison. And you'll free them from the prison of Kamsa. You'll destroy that wicked demon, Kamsa. And then so many other demons, you'll destroy those other demons. And I long to see that day. And Krishna's reply was, I'll go tomorrow. Because he was so much enjoying. You know, he wasn't thinking of anything else. And they weren't thinking of anything else. And then when he left, he was feeling separation. When he went to Mathura, he sent Akura. Excuse me. Uddhava. He sent Uddhava. And later, Balaram. And then he went to Dwarka, and he's thinking of the resident of Vrindavan, because they're always thinking of him. So it's in separation. It's just one of these, mysteries that without the assistance of our acharyas, we can't understand. So, like this commentary said, gosh, if Krishna can lift up a hill, he can certainly dry up water. That is, he has unlimited and inconceivable potencies. He's Bhagavan. So he was showing his Bhagavan-ness, the position of being Bhagavan. But their love is so intense, they didn't recognize it. Why the water isn't flooding. I mean, we don't hear any discussion between them why the water isn't flooding. But the water wasn't flooding. And they're in bliss, seeing Krishna, drinking the beauty of Krishna through their eyes, and singing the praises of Krishna. That's what the residents of Vrindavan do. When Mother Jasoda was churning butter, she was churning the butter, but she was singing the praises of Krishna. It's described in the Leela, one of our favorite. In addition to this one, a favorite Leela is the Damodar Leela. So she's churning the butter, and her bangles were sounding like cartels, and the churning of the butter was like the Vrindanga, and she was singing. A one lady band. It was spontaneous. She was absorbed. Till Krishna came and grabbed the rope. And she understood what it meant. There's loving exchange that's, even in worldly circumstances, mothers have an understanding of their child, at least many times, not always, but many times. And without any words of exchange, they understand. So what to speak, where does that come from? What to speak of the personality of Godhead? And the loving exchange that he has with his eternal associates. And the Brajvasis, they're his eternal associates. But once again, as we discussed previously, there's no lifting of Govardhan Hill in Goloka. There's no stopping of the sacrifice to Indra, because there's no Indra. But there's the detail I'm unaware of, not known to me, but there's a mood of danger and taking shelter of Krishna because of danger, and Krishna gives him shelter. How that plays out in Goloka, don't know. But the pastimes here on earth, they're especially sweet. Because there's the display, the whole pastime. And preceded by another pastime, preceded by another, just his pastimes on earth are especially sweet. There's manifest features of his pastimes on earth that's just not there in Goloka. Very special. And why is that? Because it's giving the people of this world who are stuck in material consciousness an opportunity to revive their Krishna consciousness by doing just what we're doing, discussing, hearing, remembering. It's pretty simple, discussing, hearing, remembering, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, pretty simple. Not so painful. Not different than homework at school, right? And what to speak of the result? What to speak of the result? Now, you know, the consciousness of a covered living entity may not have clarity about the result, but the result is there anyway, because the potency is there anyway. And so whatever one position of faith one is in, it's all good. All good, absolute. So we encourage people to read Prabhupada's books and, you know, discuss the topics. Katayantas chamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. This is what souls that are maturing on the path of bhakti do. They like it. So let's see if there's some discussion on Govardhan Lila.
Hare Krishna, Lord Mahal.
Yeah.
Thinking about the Govardhan, lifting up, Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill, and 7 days they are all in one place. Comparing that to this coronavirus situation. They are also kind of yes, but it's an extended lockdown, not 7 days. And they need a very business to go out of the Govardhan protection. But for us, we have to go out to, you know, at least for once in 2 weeks or something to get something. How can we think of protection, or what is the best way to be in shelter?
Do your social distancing. Follow what the CDC says.
Spiritual protection.
Well, but yeah, that's not material protection. It's to do what you should do for well-being. That's, and when you do that for the pleasure of Krishna, that's spiritual protection. It, you know, the same thing done in Krishna consciousness is bhakti. It's the same thing done not in Krishna consciousness is karma. So, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, you know, you can be thinking whatever you're thinking, you know, in relation to Krishna. Krishna, if you so desire. And then fill in the blank.
One more question. This is on the mercy, causeless mercy.
Causeless
mercy. Or Krishna's empowerment. One side, we understand that Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhagunyangayati Kirim, that verse is there where even a dumb person, if he receives the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he can speak eloquent poetry. And the lame can climb mountains. And on the other side, we can see devotees like Hanuman, who had the mercy, but he didn't do anything until Jambavan reminded him. But then it seems like he used what was in his capacity. He received so many boons, so he had the power to execute. So, on one sense, what I am seeing is there are devotees who have certain capabilities, and when the instruction comes, they are able to execute those and excel in them, whereas there are devotees who don't, but for them, they are not able to. So I am just trying to understand the empowerment or the mercy of Krishna.
Well, just going back to that particular example, Hanuman forgot because the Brahmins made that arrangement that he would forget. Because when he's little, he's messing up. So that's why he forgot. He didn't remember until Jambavana said so. But you know, back to the essence of your question. it seems that the essence of your question is there something special about receiving an instruction, and if so, was there something special in receiving an instruction? The empowerment that comes from receiving an instruction. Well, keeping it really simple, you've heard this expression before, but when the spiritual master or when Krishna gives an instruction, within the instruction is the power to carry out the instruction. Everything needed to carry out. No. So let's say two things. Control your mind. That's a nice instruction, but within the instruction is the power to do it. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, so there's an instruction. Now, it doesn't mean, in the material sense, automatic. The instruction is there, my mind is not controlled because I got the instruction. Rather, in addition to the potency is there within the instruction, there's conscious involvement in the instruction and the source of the instruction, the instructor. In step by step by step and ongoing, so it's not automatic. There's conscious involvement in the interaction with the instruction, and it's the unfolding of the potency of that instruction. Like somebody, you know, similarly, somebody might say, somebody might object. You say, just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be accomplished. You don't need this, that, the other thing, just chant Hare Krishna, everything. But after you start chanting Hare Krishna, then you start hearing, as long as this and that, the other thing, so. You know, just be honest and say, you'll get everything will be accomplished as long as you chant Hare Krishna and this and that, the other thing. Because, you know, it's deceptive. Or, you know, not full disclosure. And then the response is what I just said. You know, chant Hare Krishna, everything will happen. That doesn't mean it's automatic. It's evolving. There must be conscious participation in the instruction. And the instruction is the name. It's a conscious involvement with, in an ongoing and evolving manner, with the name and what comes from the name. For example, the Anarjuna Vritti stage. Vajra Kriya is followed by. So, when all of us have the experience, gosh, before I started practicing Krishna consciousness, I didn't even know what Anartha was, what to speak of all the ones that I'm carrying. And then you start chanting and you see all these Anarthas, and it's like, yikes. I was just supposed to chant Hare Krishna, everything was going to work out. But now I have to have conscious involvement in the Anartha Nibriti process. But it's not just like become Anartha conscious, it's become Krishna conscious. And so, there's conscious involvement as the potency of instruction unfolds, etc. The carrying out of the instruction, capacity unfolds, and so forth. Now, some people are very accomplished. As you were asking your question, I was thinking of Vasishtha and his cow. And when Vishvamitra Muni wanted to drag the cow away forcibly, Vishvamitra Muni said certain things, and the cow said, "Are you abandoning me?" "No, I never, never." Then, just say the word. Stop. And he said, "Stop." And then, everything happened. Because she's not going to act independently. But when the sound is there, she's evolved. We're becoming. She's already. So the potency is within the instruction. All potencies are within the name. We're not realizing all potencies within the name. Why not? We're distracted. The potency doesn't take away the potencies of the name. We're just not experiencing. So then there's a process, the interaction with the name.
Can I ask a follow-up on this?
Why not?
What do you understand, if you take an example of your recent lectures of Dhruva Maharaj seminar, from that, I can see that Dhruva was already he had the quality of determination. And when Narada Muni came and gave the instruction, he used that quality and he focused sincerely on his meditation.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing is, it's not like he did not have any determination, but through the instruction, the determination quality came in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But he already...
Well, the determination quality became directed properly instead of... What would have happened if you didn't have the proper direction for that determination capacity?
So the empowerment is to direct the quality that is already present.
Well, don't put it in a box and put a lid on the box, please. It's very dynamic, fluid, and dynamic. So there's multiple factors besides that one factor. In other words, there's his past, his guna and karma. There's his mother. There's his determination. There must have been some. Where did that determination come from? Because this is the beginning of creation, not just the beginning of Deva Brahma. So who was he before? And when one takes birth, there's multiple things that are being carried by the soul and awakened by time. And Swabhava and karma and time, those three things. So don't oversimplify, put it about, put a little, okay, now I got it. It's certainly that's an important factor or important aspect to look at. Supposing somebody might say, "Well, I have no determination." So work for Dhruva, but it's not to work for me because it's just not there because I'm not determined. So hang my head and weep. There's many other factors besides it. If it only if it's there, then it's going to work. That's a negative way of saying what I'm saying. There's multiple factors. Whatever is there becomes enhanced and properly directed. So it's faith, and faith is also dynamic. And swabhava, that's the language used in the Bhagavatam with creation, when, without all the detail, when Mahavishnu glances and living entities are carried, the time energy is there, swabhaviki jnana bhavapyacha, so it's the unfolding of the creation requires. And each of us are carrying our swabhava. That's our conditioned tendency. And then there's the innate spiritual tendency, which is covered by the material tendencies. All I'm saying here is don't oversimplify. It's a very essential principle, yes. If not, that there's no other principles to be considered. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Maharaj. I never thought that there is no Govardhan pastime in the Goloka. So it was so alive for me. I was also thinking that since there are no demigods in the Goloka, so does the Brahma Vimochan Leela or like the Bhakshiva entering the Rasa dance, all those pastimes also, does it happen in the Goloka?
That's my understanding. I can cross-reference with other learned scholars, but that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's the bhava, but not the leela.
Mm-hmm.
There's nitya leela. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
There's nitya leela, and there's naimittika leela.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the naimittika leela are manifest. There, the bhava is there, but the leela is not manifest. Now, how that plays out, that's what I was saying. How it plays out. Okay.
Question from Gayatri Mataji. Where the animals and living things, that is trees, on Govardhan Hill, felt separated from Krishna during the pastime, did they feel left out?
No, they're participating in the pastime. But you know, in their own way. The animals, the trees, the birds, and everyone's in Krishna's pastime. They have their way of appreciating Krishna's pastime even aside from Govardhan Hill. They're participating in their own way even without Govardhan Hill being lifted. Yes, they're participating in their own way.
There's a question from yesterday's class.
Okay. Evening?
Evening class. From Radha Kunjabihari Prabhu. From that class I learned that Hanuman had heard Vibhishna chant Vishnu Sahasranama.
Somebody asked me this question yesterday. Go ahead.
I have earlier heard that Vishnu Sahasranama was given by Bhishma after the Kurukshetra war.
Yeah, but where did he get it from? He made it up? Creative? Composition? Or he knew it and he gave it. Somebody asked that question yesterday after the class. I have not read anything other to say that Vishnu Sahasranam existed before Mahabharata was composed or Bhishma spoke it. I've not heard anything that says it's everlasting. But here we have this presentation, at least in one Ramayana version, that said what it said. So it would appear that at least in those two yugas, and maybe it's eternal. I don't have an answer. I have not an encyclopedia. So I don't have an answer to that question. But that's what it appears.
Next question is from Sachimata Vodaji from Toronto. How can one develop determination to perform devotional service?
By associating with people who are determined, by cultivating determination, and by exercising Vaishnava type of austerities. That's a short answer. There's a longer version, but that's the short answer. Accepting austerity, voluntary acceptance of austerities helps in strength and determination. Prabhupada's teaching on that topic. And we take on qualities like those with whom we associate, so associate with determined people. And inwardly cultivate. So inwardly cultivate, what does that look like? Well, let's just say, I don't know, somebody may have a tendency to sleep late. I know some people who have a tendency like that. So the alarm goes off and they go back to sleep. And oh, they hit the snooze alarm 25 times and they just, you know, so take something that there's a tendency and you work on getting on the other side of that tendency, and that helps strengthen determination. Take something that's doable and work on it and keep working on it, keep working. So it's strength and determination in all aspects of life. Pick a doable one and work on it for 5 years, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Don't squeaky clean. And when, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, you become determined that that area is going to help your capacity for determination in other areas. And then you apply that determination capacity in other areas and become more determined. So, it takes a lot of goodness to do anything steadily over time. The influence of passion and ignorance interfere with doing anything steadily over a period of time. So cultivate the quality of goodness to help you become more determined. Anything else?
Dhritishman Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, I wanted to know the authenticity of a pastime which I have heard, but I have never heard from the proper sampradaya.
I don't know if I have an answer to that. Keep going.
So the pastime of Hanumanji is like once he opened his chest and showed Ram and Sita. So I have never heard or read somewhere in the authentic.
Nor have I. Okay. But I don't know, because I'm not a scholar in Ramayana. This evening we're going to discuss, touch on the topic of multiple Ramayanas, not all of which I know, because I don't know all multiple Ramayanas. And then there's ones that are authentic, ones that aren't authentic, and so maybe that's an unauthentic, maybe it's in an authentic, maybe it's not at all.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, Guru Maharaj. The reason I was asking this is...
I know some devotees that are very scholarly, well, very well read, and I can ask that question and see, report back to you.
Yeah, Guru Maharaj, and the reason I ask this question is that because this pastime was very close to me from the childhood and it really inspired me, but
really?
When I came to know that, I have not received any authenticity. So.
Okay, I'll send out an APB to see if somebody's... No, but there are people that I know that are, they love Ramayana. They've gone deeply into Ramayana. I'll check that out, But with coronavirus, some people that are like so busy, they don't have time for looking left and right. So that may not get a reply anytime soon.
Sure.
But I'll ask.
Kumar, I have another question.
Yeah.
Like we have to do our occupational duty because, but what I wanted to understand is like if I do some service which I like I'm happy to do that service, but sometime my occupational duty becomes so much hectic that I don't like it, but because that is service to Krishna, I have to do it. So
it's not just occupational duty, by the way, it's duty. There's other duties besides occupational ones. But go ahead. It's the occupational ones that irritate you.
So my understanding that, you know, because it is service to Guru and Krishna, how I can develop my mood to do that service?
Chant extra rounds. Nice rounds. Okay. And then the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam does the same. Srinvatasrakata Krishna Panyashara Kirtana Radyantak Sohya Badrani Vidanoti Saritatam. So do your hearing and chanting activities better, or more consciously, is what the essence of what better is. Less distracting. So yes, that takes a while, but within the instruction to do so is the power to do so, right? You see, just stay with the instruction of the instructor, and you strive to apply the instruction and connect with the instructor and the instruction. So there's the path. Traverse it.
Sure.
It takes a while.
But I have a comment or realization.
Oh, okay.
No question.
I'm looking at Pajabhumi to see if you're going to have a question. Think about it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Guru Maharaj, after, you know, being in the association of devotees, being in ISKCON for, you know, some time, you know, there was a tendency that when I hear a lecture or something, like for example, Govardhan pastime. Oh, I know this pastime. So there is a tendency that comes that, oh, I know. And say every Damodar month, the same pastime is being repeated by different devotees. And, you know, that one comes. So I was thinking about it. You know, I just say, oh, I know it. But then suddenly a realization or something came that, how did I know? It was only due to Prabhupada's mercy that I came to know all these things. So now I am saying that I know. So that means whatever I learned before, the gratitude is going down. So then I thought about it and said, no, I learned it because of Prabhupada and all the acharya. So I should not go into that kind of mood that I know it. It is, I have to learn more and appreciate from where I received it. So this was my revisit.
Here's another one. Although I know it, how much do I realize it? How much is it being carried in my heart? It's not the head, it's the heart. Oh, how wonderful is my Krishna. How much is that there? Oh, I know it. It was some.
Thank you.
Jnana, big jnana. The phenomenal and the numinal. Appropriate language.
This happens with my son.
Ready?
Yeah, I cannot.
Huh? You have something. Give us one more.
So, the question is about chanting. We hear millions of times that chanting is the most important thing, but again it becomes mechanical. And I have that tendency to justify that because I have to do this, I have to do that, and then I get distracted. So, we read constantly, we hear that this holy name has tremendous potencies inside it.
Yes.
But to realize that, I see a long way.
That's okay.
Yeah, so how to, we hear all the time, we attended so many seminars. So implementing and
keep hearing and keep applying. The incremental approach. Because your heart is, fundamentally devotional, and your mind is, a little different. So you move from the heart and then cleanse the mind and direct the mind and, you know, move as you can. That's the bhakti impetus. Here's the liberation impetus. I'm going to take perfect hint. Go through this again. No, thank you. So then do something. So it's an impetus. It's not like a threat. Or it's not like we're salvationists. It's just an impetus. You know, it's me-centered impetus. You know, move it to the Krishna-centered impetus. Like, you know, through the blood of the kingdom, I'm going to do my tapasya. I'm going to do my chanting. I'm going to do my thising and thatting that Narada said, because it's going to get me to get where I want to go. Me-centered. But we are where we are. And move it towards Krishna-centered. So that's the struggle. The distraction struggle. Okay. You have something? No. You have something?
Yeah, I was just following up.
Okay, what's our last question? Pass the microphone. You have something more?
No, yes, I have a question. You can. No, okay.
Well, this is, if she's going to be the last one, so you better say what you can say, because she's the last one.
Like about this, it is related to this chanting one, like that what I am realizing day by day, that if you properly chant, it really takes a long time.
That's okay.
Yeah. So then we, at least I have that tendency to get involved into many other activities.
That's okay.
Like,
you have your nature, that's fine.
Yeah, for example, camp.
Okay, whatever it is, there are many.
Yeah. So then these days I'm thinking that why I want to do that? Is it over endeavor? Is it a distraction? Should I only try to focus on my chanting and my reading Bhagavatam?
No. You have your nature. Don't deny your nature. You engage your nature in Krishna's service. And direct it for the pleasure of Krishna, not just because I like it, because it's my nature, I like it. But, you know, it's a cultivation. Same answer. Different question, same answer. It's a cultivation. You need to perform your, like this, perform your prescribed duty. What's prescribed duty? You have your psychophysical nature. You act according to, not just the occupation, but the career. It's your nature. You do that. You're doing that. But, you know, but the mind is a little, you know, not fully cooperating towards the pleasure of Krishna. That's the problem. So, that's the bhakti principle, and you cultivate the bhakti principle by both duties. And always think of Krishna. Isn't it? That's bhakti, you know.
Like you mentioned to Prabhu that you know, when you say I know, then it's about also asking how much I realize it. So I was thinking about my son, because when I try to tell some pattern, I'm like, I know this question. So how to encourage him to, it's okay to hear once again.
Well, it depends on the nature and the personality of your son.
Mm.
But you know, I don't know your son well enough to advise this or that or the other thing. So you get pull out a menu and think of what fits my son best.
Mm-hmm.
This is very sweet. We like things that are sweet, right? So you like, you had ice cream before. No more ice cream because you had some ice cream before. And it's not just ice cream, it's purified, right? You know, where you were before you do the pastime, you know, and where you are today. You progressed because you heard the pastime. Now, feel grateful for that progress that you made, to make more progress towards, you know, what's your goal? You just want new stuff, or you want to go deeply into what you know? You know, what are some of the things that you like to do? Does he like music? You like music?
Yeah.
Okay, so I learned that one. What's next? You go more deeply into music. Mm-hmm. Go more deeply into that. You know, how deep is the ocean that has no bottom?
Jai.
Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.